Hi, this is Shantae, and welcome to Soul Time. We are a podcast that focuses on preserving folk wisdom and folk healing in its many modalities and variations. So thank you for joining us. We are very new, and I'm really excited to continue sharing with you in 2018 the different healers that I have lined up, the different folk healers that are going to be talking to you about what they do and what is and why it's so important to them. Today, we're going to be focusing on something I think is really important as I'm doing a little research and finding that many people are turning to what mainstream would call alternative healers. I don't really consider them alternative. I think they're more in aligned with what we used to do back in the day. But for the sake of understanding, we'll call them alternative healing. So I find that many people are seeking out medicine women and medicine men, shamans and priestess, and just different types of healers that have been around for a millennium. But it feels like here in our modern world, they're just showing up more and more. And it might be a little confusing for someone who's seeking out such a healer of what to look for. And so I wanted to share on this podcast today of my top four things, my top four criteria that I look for when I'm looking for a healer. A sacred healer, someone who is going to support me in a very special and a very deep and a very sacred way. So I wanted to kind of share my top four. My first one is about being intuitively responsible. So we are all intuitive. Right? We all have this sixth sense. And some of us move beyond our own family and community, and we branch out to want to support others with our intuitive gifts. So for me, it's very important that when I am looking for a particular sacred healer to work with, that they use their intuitive skills in a very responsible and respectful way. Meaning, just because we can hear it doesn't mean we ought to say it. Just because I get this intuitive hit, it's because I have tapped into my psychic abilities, doesn't mean that I need to broadcast and blast everything that I'm hearing to the person or the community in front of me. So that is how I define intuitive responsibility, that there is a sense of discernment that shows up when we're speaking to people, that we check in with ourselves before we just kind of blah, you know, spit it out onto people. So that is very important. Someone told a really great story to me once, and it was when you give a child matches, a box of matches, and you don't give them any guidelines, you don't give them any instruction, they will eventually figure out how to light that match. And it's going to be really cool, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fascinating, and they're probably going to burn themselves up and the house also. So very irresponsible of me to give this box of matches to a child without explaining the importance, the power, the sacredness of this energy that they now hold. Very normal for the child to not have instruction if no one gave them any instruction, to experiment and to burn shit up. So that's kind of like how it can be when you're very new to waking up to your intuitive gifts. I get that we are in a frequency on this planet that our consciousness is rising every second. And I get that many healers, shamans are just simply waking up. And there's also a responsibility in the intuitive gifts that we have, that we don't just go around like a child who doesn't understand the power and sacredness of fire and just start burning stuff up because we don't know, we don't understand, or we just plain want to have fun and we don't realize the other pieces of that. So when I'm looking for a medicine person to connect with and to support me, I am following them for a little bit to kind of see how do they use their intuitive gifts? How do they support the community, themselves, their family, and beyond with that intuition? So along with that, I would also say in using one's intuitive gifts in their practice or lack thereof, are they following a formula to work with me? Am I coming in to work with someone who already has a preset of protocols that they're following for particular issues and problems? And so this can get a kind of sticky, I guess, sometimes, because we do have those professions where there is a particular thing that's wrong or that's out of harmony. In order to bring it into a little bit more balance, there's a certain number of steps that someone may go through. But is the entire practice, is my entire program focused on a preset? Okay, on session one, we do this. On session two, we do this. On session three, we do this. And it leaves no room for the intuitive side to come in and for spirit to play. So that's the other thing that I look for under that being responsible intuitively and just plain being intuitive and not being afraid to use it. So the second thing, because remember I'm going over four things, but each one has a few things underneath it. So the second thing I look for is, does this particular healer know and honor and respect their own drum? So I heard the story quite a few moons ago by a really cool, amazing healer, Ida Belinda Dancing Lion. And she talked about the great council that sat around the fire, and that each grandmother and great-grandfather that were sitting around this council fire had a drum, and that they were waiting for their daughters and sons to return home, return to the sacred fire, and bring their drum. So this sacred council was composed of all of the traditions around the world. It wasn't just one tradition, but each tradition, each culture had a drum. And so she used this story to explain how we get very fascinated with other people's drums. We want to learn other people's culture and embrace other people's medicine and understanding before we have learned and understood and been with our own. And she talks about how it's not about how I can't learn other cultures and other medicines, but first, let me start with my own. Let me start with my own ancestral line. Let me work with these parts of myself. Let me understand what's in my own history. Because you know, I'm not an anthropology major. I don't even pretend to say that I have logged in thousands of hours studying indigenous cultures or the history of this planet, but just from, you know, basic thinking, there used to be just the earth. We weren't in a modern world. It was just the earth and people. And that had to be on every continent around this world. So if we all go back far enough, we're all going to reach an earth-based culture, a culture that lived in accordance to the earth. And I can imagine that they lived seasonally based on the seasons of that region. And we all can trace ourselves back there. And so when we focus on our own drum, we want to learn our way, our ancestral way. And we get to bring that drum to the end, to the circle. Does it mean that I don't learn about very proficiently other drums? But it means first I bring myself, and then I bring others. So when I'm looking for a shamanic or a medicine woman, medicine man to support me, I'm looking at, do they honor their own drum? Have they brought themselves? Have they done that ancestral work on their own line? And are they honoring and respecting other drums and bringing those drums as well? So I'm sure by now you're getting that the drum is symbolic to history and information and medicine, healing modalities, things like that. So are you bringing your stories? Are you understanding your own stories from your own line before going out and gathering up the stories from others? So that's just me, and that's something that I look for that's very important, because someone who hasn't learned their own drum, someone who has not kind of delved into their own history and ancestral, is someone who hasn't healed those wounds, those broken pieces maybe that are showing up, which might be why they're fascinated with other people's drums, because they're romanticized by what's over there, not realizing they have a rich romantic history right within their own. They just may have to get through it by doing that internal work. So that's kind of my take on someone who learned their own drum. So I have another really awesome teacher, Marian Hartfield, grandmother Dawn Skyweaver, who's a grandmother, and she taught me about tweaking. And she will often say, oh, the grandmothers believe in tweaking. So we can experience some medicine, experience a ceremony, experience something. And when we share it, it doesn't have to be exactly as you experienced it. That it really is okay and expected for it to be tweaked, for it to be revised, as long as it keeps the true essence of what it's about, the intention of what it's about. And so when I'm looking for a healer, kind of under that whole, does this healer bring their own drum? I'm looking for, do you tweak things? Do you bring yourself and these other drums and kind of shifting and bringing in this new way of doing things? Have you tweaked it? Do you allow for tweaking? And then the other thing, which I'm also describing, is mixing of medicines. And I know there are some traditions that don't really like medicines being mixed. But I am a big believer of mixing our medicine. So once I've learned my drum, once I bring myself to the arena, that I'm also bringing these other drums as well. And as we play our drums, we are making an amazing healing vibrational sound, resonance. And without these other drums, that there might be something missing. So I look for healers that are okay with mixing their medicines. Their pockets and their medicine bag is full of tools from many different places. So that would be the second criteria that I look for when I'm looking for a shaman or a medicine person to work with and to help me through whatever it is that I'm working with. And so the third thing I look for is I look for a sacred healer who has a relationship with their shadow selves. So what do I mean by that? So typically our shadow aspect of ourself can be defined as that part of ourself that we usually do keep hidden because in general, our culture would describe those emotions, those behaviors as being bad or negative. So I'll just say rage, anger is a classic shadow aspect of ourselves. We get angry, but we don't like to express our anger or sadness or unworthiness, all these different emotional aspects of ourselves that because our culture has considered them to be negative, we try not to feel them. We try to block them. We try to say, oh no, I don't want to feel that way because I don't want to be in a negative space. I have to stay in this positive space. So for me, that would be someone, a healer, who has not developed a relationship with their shadow aspects. I don't personally consider my shadow aspects of myself as bad or damaging. I look at my shadow aspects as parts of me, because they are, and ways to heal. These shadow aspects of me are showing up just like other parts of me that are more of the quote unquote light. And all of these parts of me have something to offer and share. So when I'm looking for a healer, how do I know that they're in touch with their shadow aspect or that they have developed relationships with their shadow aspect? Is that when I come to them with all my stuff that's wrong, that there's not an attempt to change how I feel, but there is a way in which they can sit with my pain. They can sit with my rage and my anger without saying, oh, you really shouldn't be that way, or you know, that's such a negative way of thinking about things. Let's just jump right into reframing and redefining. I'm not ready for redefining and reframing because I'm needing to understand why I'm at where I'm at and what is going to help me move through. And so that's the healing piece. So we have the recognition and the acknowledgement, and then we have the healing portion, and then we have the clearing portion. And so for someone who I feel hasn't done their shadow work, they're not able, or they go right to clearing before they do the sitting and the healing. And for me, that's not someone who I want to work with. I don't want someone to just try to have me shift it and reframe it before healing it. Because I know that when that happens, it's just going to come back. Just going to come back in a different experience, in a different way. And then I'm going to be on this revolving door of working with my healer, of I go see a healer and then they just kind of clear something from me. And then 6 months later, 1 year later, 6 weeks later, I'm going to be right back it may be a different issue. The face of it may look different, but the core issue is still going to be there because I haven't healed it. And I get also that that might be a little bit like controversial or defeats the purpose of going to get soul retrieval work done or past life regression work done. But this is how spirit guides me, that it's not about just jumping to the clearing, that there are simply no shortcuts. And I look for practitioners, for healers, for shamans who understand that deeply, that there is no shortcut and that I'm going to have to do my inner work, which means my shadow aspects are going to be revealed, and this practitioner who I have sought out is going to have to hold this space. And they can only hold that space if they have held that space for themselves, if they have been in that shadow work with themselves, then I know they could do it for me. So I hope all that kind of made sense. And moving on to the fourth criteria that I look for when I am wanting to work with a medicine person is, are they showing all three faces? So what do I mean when I say all three faces? Well, in some traditions, we look at the maiden or the boy, the mother or the father, and the crone, and which is the grandmother, the wise woman, or we look at the wise man, the grandfather. So if I'm working with, you know, a woman or working with a man, are they able to show all three faces? And so as Angelise Irene would say, as she talks about this in the second half of life, great audio book. If you haven't listened to it, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Anyway, she talks about these three faces, and I'll kind of paraphrase and kind of bring in my own twist to it. So when I'm looking to work with a shaman, do they have that that maiden joy, excitement, innocence in their conversation? You know, do they giggle and laugh like a child? But do they also have that drive that our maidens and our boys, our youth have, with that drive to accomplish and to achieve and to feel triumphant? Like, that is the youth, right? And youth doesn't necessarily equate to like age, but I'm using youth to symbolize those themes. And then we have this middle time of our year, which we can consider the mother and the father, the nurturer, the one that has moved beyond the youth and is now moving into a deeper quality of their life where, as Angelise would say, they're redreaming the dream. So is this practitioner that I'm going to, do her stories, are they rich? Is she beginning to try to pull those stories out of me, getting me to talk about not just accomplishing and not just looking at results, but looking at the exploration of what is in this moment? Okay. And then that third face is that elder, that crone, that wise woman, that wise man, that just is such an amazing mentor. So does this practitioner that I'm working with, do they share their healing stories in a way that is not based in ego, but is based in, this is how I did it. I don't know how you're going to walk through this, but this is how I walk through this, and this is what I got from this. And if this story supports and helps you in any way, take it. Take the story, pull it apart, and see how it can be a guide as you go through what you're going through. So I often, you know, when I think of my grandmother, yeah, she may have had a solution or two, but it wasn't about the solution. It was just about being with her. I just loved, and I get a little teary, I just loved to be in her lap. I just loved to put my head on her breast, and when she came to visit, she just held me. And I just wanted to watch her do stuff. It wasn't about me having to ask her a bunch of questions. And I just kind of waited. I just kind of watched her. And that's it. And so does this healer or practitioner that you're seeking and wanting to work with, do they have that grandmother, grandfather energy? Do they have that youthful, driven, drive, giggly, laughing energy? Do they have that energy of redreaming and doesn't know it all, is still figuring it out themselves, regardless of the age that they are? We all have these three faces. It's, do we allow them to show? Have we developed them? So, you know, to be truthful, this last criteria for me, those three faces, that's the main one I look for. If I don't see number four, if I don't see those three faces, then I know that they ain't got the first three. Because woven within the first three criteria are the three faces. Woven within that is the youth, is the wisdom years, and is the eldership. And so those are my four criteria that I look for. And so I guess it's like, well, okay, well, how do I know? How do I know that this person has these three things if I'm like on a 30-minute free session? Well, when you're choosing a practitioner like a shaman or a medicine person to work with and to guide you through whatever leg of your journey you're on in your life, I think it's a little bit important that you follow them a little bit. So maybe it's someone that's already in your community and you go to their classes or two, or you read about them, or you just sit and have conversations with them. And as you're talking to them and as they're being themselves, you begin to see these four things. At least that's what I look for. I also, like, I talk to my sister friends and say, you know, when they're talking about someone that they've seen or someone they are working with at the time and they're helping them through certain things, I ask questions, or as they're talking about them, they're going to reveal, just through the conversation, their personality and how they're helping them and what they're doing. And you're going to get an idea. Yeah, I do have some people in my community that want it quick and they want it fast. And they have found practitioners who are in alignment with that philosophy. That's not my philosophy. So though it's right for them, that I wouldn't resonate. But I also have other people in my community who resonate with what I'm talking about. And so when they're talking about a healer that they have found that they went to go see for certain things, I'm resonating with that because they're fitting my criteria. So that is what I wanted to share today. And I hope that this is supportive for you as you go out into the world and attract and seek out a healer that supports you. I think it's really important that we include these, right, quote unquote, alternative healers, our wisdom carriers, our folk medicine healers. It's important that I feel we have these folks on our wellness team just as much as we have our physician or our mental health therapists and acupuncturist and chiropractor. And it's like it's all a village and we all just work together. And so I hope this helped you and I appreciate you listening in. And leave me a comment or two. I would love to get your feedback on what you think about this topic. All right, you all, this is Shantae with Soul Time, and I'm really excited that you shared your time with me. I will talk to you all again very soon. Peace and love. Bye.